Hello, I'm Libby Dodds-Ashley. I'm an antimicrobial stewardship pharmacist, and I currently work with the Duke Antimicrobial Stewardship Outreach Network. I've been a longtime consultant with Haney's on antibiotic stewardship, starting with a time when I was a stewardship pharmacist and an associate pharmacy director at the University of Rochester. There, I was privileged to work with some nursing home stewardship initiatives with our guest today, Dr. Renoir Demyati. Dr. Demyati is an infectious diseases physician and professor at the University of Rochester Medical Center. Her research interests include surveillance and prevention of healthcare-associated infections and antibiotic-resistant organisms. She also has expertise in antibiotic stewardship and has assisted several nursing homes in implementing such programs, so we are delighted to have her expertise on the program. During other episodes of the series, we discuss emerging drug resistance and the current state of antibiotic stewardship in the acute care setting. Dr. Demyati, what are your thoughts about drug resistance and the role of antibiotic stewardship, specifically in nursing homes?
Thanks, Libby, for the introduction. Nursing home residents are extensively colonized with many pathogens, including Staph aureus, beta hemolytic strep, gram-negative organism, and such as E. coli and Pseudomonas aeruginosa. And colonization with these potential pathogens is due to the fact that there are physiological changes associated with aging, chronic comorbid disease, and the general debilitation of the nursing home population. They have devices in place such as a urinary catheter, or they might have decubitus ulcer, and these can get colonized with organism. And there is intensive use of antimicrobial in the nursing home, and it promotes then the colonization of organisms that are antimicrobially resistant. And these organisms can be transmitted to other residents in the facility, but can also be transmitted to patients in the hospital when these residents are transferred back and forth between the two health systems. So it is important to control the use of antibiotic, which we know is very common in the nursing home. It's reported that approximately 40% of all systemic drugs used in the nursing home are antibiotic, and that 50 to 70% of residents receive at least one systemic antimicrobial agent during a year. It's also known that many of these antibiotic use are inappropriately used, such as the dose and the duration and sometimes the indication. So because of the burden of antimicrobial resistance in this population, it is important to reduce the burden of antibiotic use, and so we have less development of organisms that are resistant to antibiotics.
Thank you for that. I know that we've had antibiotic stewardship for decades in the acute care settings, and it has more recently come to the nursing homes and long-term care. I do realize that long-term care, though, is perhaps ahead of acute care settings in terms of regulation about antibiotic stewardship, and that the 2017 conditions of participation that were supposed to go live as part of phase two were put on a temporary delay, and actually having citations related to those regulations. We are anticipating that delay will be lifted sometime in the middle of 2019, but I do know that many nursing homes have been doing a lot of hard work to get prepared for those upcoming regulations. I'm wondering what you have seen that may work well in nursing homes that have been implementing or expanding stewardship programs that might be useful to our listeners.
So one of the biggest, you know, one of the most important thing to do is to track the use of antibiotic, to be able to identify gaps and to be able to gap in antibiotic use and to intervene. So measuring antibiotic antibiotic use in the nursing home is a very challenging task because of many reasons. First of all, there is no electronic medication administration record such in the hospital where you could just very easily get a list of everyone who's on antibiotic and what are the indication. So in many nursing home, this information is not readily available. And even if they have an electronic medication administration record, you cannot get aggregate data. So I think that's the biggest challenge that we have faced. And so what we have done is to find other ways to collect this data. One way to collect this data was to go and ask the dispensing pharmacy to give us record of antibiotic dispensed over a certain period of time. And there are, you know, we found a lot of, you know, challenges there as well. You know, some of the dispensing pharmacy did not include an indication of why the antibiotic was used. There was only the agent and the duration. Without an indication, really, the data is not as powerful. You could probably look and see what proportion of antibiotic are, for example, quinolone, but without knowing why quinolone are used, it's very hard to intervene. So in one nursing home, what we had ended up doing is spending some time to have a prescription that includes a field that they have to complete an indication in addition to dose and duration for all their prescription. And we gave them feedback over time of how compliant they are with that documentation. So getting antibiotic data, summarizing the antibiotic data is a task that's not easy. So we were the experts from the hospital. So having nursing home reach out to experts from the hospital that have done this work for a long time is very valuable. Alternatively, you could ask the dispensing pharmacy to provide you summary data, which so far we haven't found many pharmacists that have been successful. Some are starting to do it and give feedback of the summary data, which is important to identify what needs to be done to change the antibiotic prescribing. Other ways, and that led us to do something different because of the labor of, you know, cleaning data, getting the data, is the infection preventionists daily collect, you know, reviews in morning report who might potentially have an infection and who was started off on antibiotics. So we created a paper Excel sheet that the infection preventionist can complete, or whoever has that role, complete daily any new antibiotic that were started in the nursing home or the patient came in on. And that Excel sheet is able to generate automatically data on the total antibiotic use, what are the agent, what are the indication. And it also allows the infection preventionist to apply the updated McGeer criteria to see, for example, how many of the common infections, for example, urinary tract infection, lower respiratory tract infection, or skin and soft tissue infection fit the McGeer criteria. So this tool is present on our website with some instruction of how to use it. We can be contacted if there is any issue with using that form. But I think it's important for the nursing home to start collecting their own data because it's so much more eye-opening when the data collection and data review is done by a nursing home than an outside expert. And I can give you an example. For example, we were reviewing in one nursing home urinary tract infection and trying to apply the McGeer criteria, and we found that more than 50% did not fit the McGeer criteria. And we said, you know, you need to do something regarding this. You need to indicate your frontline staff, your medical staff, about asymptomatic bacteria. But we didn't really get a lot of buy-in until the infection preventionist did the work herself. And she said, oh, no, my God, we have to do something. Everyone is checking a urine culture for any sign and symptoms, even when they're not related to urinary tract infection. So having people collect their own data and own the data is very powerful.
Thank you. I know that many nursing homes have been working in advance of those conditions of participations being enforced to try to implement and or expand their stewardship efforts. I know this is an area that you've worked a lot with your collaboration in Rochester and beyond. And so I'm wondering, what have you seen that works particularly well in nursing homes when you're trying to either start or grow stewardship in that setting?
So the most important thing to know that an antimicrobial stewardship program is a team effort. And it requires collaboration and culture change, starting from the frontline staff up to the administration. It's also important that the team member have assigned duties. And some of the duties, it's important that they overlap between the different staff member because of turnover and because of different priorities. So, for example, when we have worked with a nursing home, the infection preventionist took the role of measuring antibiotic use or tracking antibiotic use. And her role was to review the antibiotic orders and to make sure that there was a dose and indication, but also review, for example, if a urine culture was obtained, what was the organism that grew, was it sensitive to the antibiotic given? And she would communicate this information to either the consultant pharmacist or the medical director if she sees that there is a mismatch, or sometimes when she applies the updated McGeer criteria, realizes that the patient did not fit the criteria or didn't have clinically signs and symptoms of urinary tract infection. So this is one example how, you know, kind of people working together can implement some change in the use of antibiotic. Another way to look at this is once the infection preventionist finished her tracking, for example, for a month, then either the consultant pharmacist or the medical director reviews her data and can identify some issue that needs to be addressed and can talk to other medical staff that are prescribing antibiotic. They can also together educate frontline staff, families on the use of antibiotic, and for example, the concept of asymptomatic bacteriuria and when someone really does not need to be treated because their change in their condition is probably not due to an infection or a urinary tract infection. So, it's also important for the medical director or the consultant pharmacist or other experts helping the nursing home to look at their policies or to develop policies. We have found it very helpful to develop policies and guidelines for diagnosing and treating urinary tract infection, pneumonia, upper respiratory tract infection, and skin and soft tissue infection. So looking at your facility and first identifying, do you have a policy for antimicrobial stewardship? Do you have any policies for nursing staff to evaluate a patient with this change in condition? For example, do they use a tool such as the S-bar or the Interact tool to evaluate a patient for a specific infection or a condition? Because that can help, you know, kind of avoid an unnecessary call to a physician who is not present on site and the urge to prescribe an antibiotic because they're not really aware or they cannot assess if someone has an infection or not. So the prescribing process in the nursing home is really a complicated process, and it's very important for the nursing home to start from the beginning, which is like a patient fell or a patient has a fever, who is evaluating them, what tool do they use to make sure the evaluation is adequate and appropriate, then how do they communicate this information for a staff that's not on site, or if they start on site, you know, how quickly do they need to get them on board to evaluate the patient. And then the next thing is, if the evaluation is not done on site, you know, and the physician decide or the medical staff decides it's on the phone that it's okay to wait, what are procedure to follow up this patient to make sure there is no deterioration in their condition and no need for antibiotic or transfer to the hospital? And if they start antibiotic, it's important to have a process where someone really evaluate a day or two later to make sure that the antibiotic use was the appropriate one. Does it need to be changed because now the culture is back or a chest X-ray is back? And then if it is not appropriate, who is responsible to change it or to stop it? So looking at all these steps in your nursing home is important. Another step that's also important when I have met with a nursing home is to see who evaluates lab tests or cultures that come back, who is responsible for that, who is responsible during the day, who is responsible in the evening and on the weekend, and do they understand the results? Do they understand what a urine culture means? And if it's a positive, do they understand if someone was not treated that they need to really go back and reevaluate the patient or the resident to make sure, do they have sign and symptom of urinary tract infection, and is it then important to call the physician and say, you know, I have a positive culture, your patient has, for example, still has dysuria, and I think we should start an antibiotic. So it's very important in the nursing home to educate the frontline staff, the medical staff, and everyone should be kind of on the same understanding that this is a group effort and this is not just one person's responsibility.
Do you have any tips or tricks for our listeners in terms of best ways to get access to the frontline staff to provide this education so that they are equipped and informed to drive changes in requests and or therapy with antibiotics that residents might be receiving?
So education can be done in different ways. One of the ways we have done it, which is kind of labor intensive, is to go physically and meet with them and discuss cases, you know, kind of make it fun. You have this patient who is not feeling well, what do you do? Why do you need to think this is a urinary tract infection? Why is this not a urinary tract infection? Why we should not be pushing antibiotic when someone is asymptomatic and, you know, the only problem they have today is they just don't feel good, but there's no fever. There is no other sign and symptom to suggest that they have a systemic illness. So it could be face-to-face. We have found also that posters on the units have been very helpful, especially if there is so much turnover. Someone would look at the poster and say, what is this all about? In some of the nursing home, the infection preventionists have taken a big role in educating new staff. So they do a lot of education. And we were also told that, for example, to avoid the overuse of antibiotic for asymptomatic bacteriuria, it's not just important to educate the nursing staff, it's important to educate everyone, including the wound care nurse, including the rehab staff, so everyone understand what a symptomatic urinary tract infection is and what it is not. Education doesn't last, and you have to really keep re-emphasizing the messages. So this is one reason why reviewing antibiotic use by the medical director or the consultant pharmacist is important, because you give feedback. And the more feedback, I guess a negative feedback, or education, it would eventually help in changing the prescribing behavior. We were told, for example, in one nursing home, they were using a lot of quinolone for urinary tract infection. And then when they looked at their antibiogram, they realized that E. coli, which is one of the most common organisms, is resistant in, you know, 35% of the cases. So empiric use of quinolone really is not the right choice in that population. And the physician that was prescribing a quinolone really was not aware of this information. So when his prescribing prescriptions were reviewed, he was educated that, look, you know, you're using Cipro empirically for a treatment of UTI on all your patients. However, in X amount of your patient, this was really not an appropriate agent, since many of those patients ended up having a resistant organism and antibiotic needed to be changed. So education can take many forms. It could be just face-to-face. It could be poster, pamphlets, availability of guidelines that are easily reachable. You know, you can find them easily. And also feedback on your prescribing, which is really not an easy task to do when they're not related to urinary tract infection. So having people collect their own data and own the data is very powerful.
That's an excellent suggestion. How do you find it to work with staff at the nursing homes? You'd mentioned previously staff turnover. Do you have anything else to add to that?
Yeah, staff turnover really has been the biggest challenge in anything you're trying to implement. So when you implement a policy or a project, you have to take that into consideration. And can you put something in place that could be easily done by any new staff with a limited training? So having, for example, order set, having a prescription that is required, having a field that everyone has to fill to move to the next step is what I have suggested. And I have also suggested that there is overlap For example, we're saying here the infection preventionist should be collecting all the data on antibiotic use, but what if she's not there? What if she's on vacation? So kind of having other people do the same task is really key to sustain such a program. So this is one of the, you know, the challenges. And so I don't have the kind of the ideal answer for this question, but whenever people are thinking of putting procedure or policies in place, you have to think of how can this be done with new staffing, with limited education, with limited amount of education. What can we put in place so everyone can complete and sustain?
You know, when you're talking, it makes me think that in the nursing home, there's busy staff. They seem to have a lot of competing priorities. And in order for stewardship to become the priority, there have to be some creative strategies to get everyone engaged. Is there anything that you found other than having them collect their own data and prove to themselves that improvement is needed? Are there any tricks you found that really help engage the staff and focus on stewardship so it remains a priority in these facilities?
I think giving them data on a regular basis has been very helpful. And showing them improvement really makes them happy and makes them kind of, I want to do more. It's working. For example, something very simple. We think we are testing too many people for urine when it's really not indicated. So the goal is to say, we want to reduce this by 50%. And you measure, which is very easy to measure, how many urine culture on a certain unit you're doing every month. And your goal is to reduce it by a certain amount and show the staff, look, this month we have only 5, we have only 6, we used to have 20. And showing data, feedback data on a regular basis, I find it very helpful. I think the data is very powerful, and feeding them data and explaining the data to them and showing them, you know, kind of how did they succeed, and, you know, putting, you know, giving them kind of a pizza party or something to show that, look, you have done it well, this is great, you know, let's keep going. And I think when everyone sees that and sees that their whatever they have done has been valued by administration is very important. Get measuring data and feeding back the data and giving people kind of a pat on the shoulder and say, good job, is very important.
Sounds great. It seems like you've been doing a lot of hard work to really advance this field, so thank you for all you've done. I want to thank the listeners for participating. I want to remind everyone that for Haney's members, there are also other tools to help you implement maybe some ideas that you heard today, and those are available through Haney's in the form of education. There are also consultations available. You can access those at hanys.org. We want to thank you for listening today, and thank you to Dr. Demiati for joining us.
Thanks, Libby.